had the huge giant fans and all this other equipment. But anyway, Michael Payne, his crew, they're fantastic. PCRestoration.com, 860-535-2002. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't mess around. Water damage is a real thing. So is mold. Make sure you take care of that. And God forbid you have fire damage. They can fix all that up. 860-535-2002. Also, you know, Rob Simmons had like mice in his ceiling.
Yeah.
And they had him come and clean that out. So anyway, Ben Proto is with us. And Ben was weaving some more yarns off the air, man, about some of the things that are going on with him in and around the Republican Party. So let me just
Ben's
ask you.
Ben's fired up today, too.
Yeah, Ben's fired up. So talk to me. What have you been doing? What do you want to get out there?
A couple things, you know. I had the privilege of attending a very small and intimate event with Senator Vance on Saturday up in Massachusetts. And, you know, he talked about some interesting things, but most notably about things that are happening today, not about where we're going, but things that are just happening today. And, you know, when we look at the government's response, or maybe lack of response, to, you know, the hurricane, Hurricane Helene, and what's happening, particularly in some of the western parts of North Carolina and Georgia, you know, they're in dire need of basic supplies that they can't get to them. And of course, when Joe Biden is asked about, the aftermath of the storm, his response is, "What storm?" And then when he was told, he goes, "Oh, it's really good." People are literally dying down there from bee stings and yellow jacket stings because of their nests have been displaced. They have no Benadryl. They have no EpiPens. They have no basic medical supplies, food or water. The government has completely failed on that. And I think this is a sign that, you know, we're more concerned about trying to run an election than we are actually taking care of the people that we are elected to take care of. And it just kind of goes on and on from there. And you know, as we look here in Connecticut, and, you know, Greg, you talked about this, but Yankee Gas has filed for a rate increase. UI has filed for a rate increase. Eversource selling off their position in wind power that we so desperately needed all of a sudden, but now Eversource wants out of it. I think some of the stuff what Greg was talking about earlier. The Democrats are in complete disarray. And look, if you're not sure that the Democrat base is not engaged in this election, the very fact that they had to bring the DNC chairman, Jamie Harrison, to Connecticut, a state that Kamala Harris should win overwhelmingly, that Democrats should win overwhelmingly, to try to fire up their base, speaks volumes of the fact that Democrats in this state are upset about what's going on, not only in this state, in this country. And I think you're going to see a shift in some of those voting habits. I think particularly you're going to see a shift in a lot of ticket splitting. And you know, kind of go back to what Greg was talking about earlier and what the last call, I believe his name was Dan. Great call from him, though. There was just a survey released by United Way of Connecticut. 39% of all households in Connecticut are living paycheck to paycheck, barely being able to pay their bills every week and every month. And the Democrats' position is, nah, let's get rid of those guardrails so we can go spend more money on stuff that we don't have. Let's raise taxes, because here's the thing, and I know Greg will take a little bit of an issue with this, so I'm not knocking the Republicans on this, but everyone talks about this great income tax cut that we had last year. We saved, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, about $550 or so a year.
That's right.
In income taxes.
Yep.
But at the same time, at the very same time that everyone was voting for that great tax cut, the Democrats imposed another 25 cents in gas tax on every driver in this state. If you do 10 gallons, if you do 10 gallons a week, that's $250. If you have two cars, that's $5 a week. That's $250 a year in additional taxes if you only do 10 gallons a week. So they did away with the income tax cut by just imposing an additional gas tax on the people that I know Greg Howard voted against, and mostly Republicans, not all the Republicans voted against. So it's a smoke and mirrors game the Democrats are playing and Ned Lamont is playing with the people of Connecticut, and we simply can't afford it. Job creation is down. Homelessness is up. Rents are up. Gas prices are up. Just keep going. There's just a story out. Eggs are breaking $4.50 a dozen across this country right now. Eggs, basic staples, people can't afford. I don't know what else to tell you, folks, but I got to tell you, if you think this is a good way to live in, then you should be voting for the Democrats, because I can tell you that it is not a good way to live. It is not what this country is about. It is not what this state is about. And unless and until we're ready to make some changes in this state, you're going to continue to be put back and back and back, and your children's future is being taken away from them by the people of Hartford and the people in Washington.
Yeah, he's so that he's right. You know, we fought to stop the TCI and then, you know, try to get a little bit of tax relief. But then the Democrats, because they have such a majority up there, they, you know, drop these things in the implementer and whatnot. And I think Ben hit on another big point that, you know, the Democrats made a huge, huge tactical error by this energy bills, you know, letting these public benefits go way up the way they did, you know, right at election time, because people are starting to see that these policies that are coming out of Hartford, you know, in the legislature, the Democrats control the Hartford legislature for over 50 years. They've had the governor's office now for, 14 years, something like that. So, yep. You know, these policies that are coming out of there are just hurting your wallet. And I've always said this, people vote with their wallets. And, you know, there's all these arguments about, you know, well, does the president actually impact the economy? And none of that matters come November 5th. People are going to show up and they're going to vote with their wallets. And what I try to tell people, Ben, is you have to look at the issues that are coming out of Hartford that are costing you money. And it doesn't matter. And you know, you could say this about everything. We did this in education. We ran a bill called an act concerning mandate relief, and they put a new mandate in it. I'm not even kidding. And of course, you know, of course, I pointed that out. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You know, right in the middle of a committee meeting, we're putting mandates in a mandate relief bill? Come on. You know, all these things that are great ideas that these folks have, you know, legislator wants to put it on a mailer, or it was their idea and they're married to it and they're going to get it through no matter what the cost. Well, the cost is being put on everybody else, and it has to stop. And it's got to stop by
I'm sorry,
us. That's right, Ben. It's got to stop by us getting the Hartford legislature at least close to even, because those policies are just so detrimental.
Yep. And look, I put it this way, Greg, and I say this with all due respect to every elected office in this country. One of the tenets of the Republican Party is we believe that government closest to the people governs best. Your mayor or first selectman has far more impact on your everyday life than your state rep or state senator does. Your state rep or state senator has far more impact on your life every day than your member of Congress or United States senator does, and far, far more impact than the president of the United States ever will on your daily life.
Right. That's exactly
key.
Right.
Greg is absolutely correct. It is key that we put more Republicans in Hartford, in the House, in the Senate. We are literally right now on the in the state Senate, we are able to stop a veto override. The House is able to stop a veto override. And if you don't think that's important, and no matter what we might think of Ned Lamont as governor, he has stopped the crazy liberals on the other side from doing stuff because they know they can't override his veto. We lose one seat in the Senate. We lose a couple of seats in the House. They can override his vetoes. And wait till you see what they will do. When they can override his vetoes.
You know,
and so, folks, it is key that, you know, we elect Sean Mancinardi in the 20th District, Chris Reddy up in the 29th District. It is key that we send Greg Howard back to Hartford and Republicans back to Hartford. You know, I know it's a long stretch, but Ryan Fazio, Tony Wong, Lisa Seminara, man, those are important seats for us. It is key to the survival of our state, the literal survival of our state, the families in this state, that we put more Republicans in Hartford. Because if we don't do that, I can tell you this, Martin Looney, Bob Duff, Matt Ritter, Representative Rojas, the majority leader, they're going to run roughshod over the people of this state.
I got to ask you both a question. So I think it was 2018, correct me if I'm wrong, but Republicans had gained a stalemate in the Senate.
16.
Okay. And closing in the House. So what happened? Like, what happened from then to now that has caused the Connecticut resident to abandon the Republican Party? And even now, Ben, you know, you talk about some of those races. Like, Ryan Fazio is a fantastic senator. Mm-hmm. Why he is on, you know, the guillotine, it blows me away. Why have they, you know, decided to turn their back on the Republican Party in a lot of areas?
You want to take that, Ben? You want me to go?
And truthfully, a lot of it has to do with people are more concerned with rhetoric than policy. People are more concerned with what somebody says versus what somebody does. And as a result, I think you've got a situation where you've got people who don't like words that are coming out of somebody's mouth versus the actions they've taken. And again, it gets back to real simple, basic economics. You know, are you more concerned about what somebody says and you watch prices go up, you watch your savings go down, you watch your retirement go away, you watch your children's future go away, or you're more concerned with what somebody does when you know unemployment is at record low, particularly among Black and Hispanic and Latinos? Do you see home ownership increasing among those groups, among all demographic groups, but you don't like what the person says? You see no wars in this world. You see nobody launching missiles across borders in this world. You see dictators and despots being put in their place, but the words seem to hurt you somehow that somebody says. When you're doing that, you're putting your children's future, your grandchildren's future at stake and at risk. And I can tell you this, we don't change that direction, the concept of the American dream is gone. The concept of an American economy, the concept of being the greatest society that the world has ever known is gone. We are just losing every day to China. We are losing every day to India and the Southeast Asia. We are losing every day to the European Union simply because we have leaders who don't understand what it is America is truly about, what the Constitution truly means, and how great this country is and can be.
So I'm going to answer your question a little bit differently and say this to you. You know, and Ben's the chair of the party here. I'm not a political strategist. When people call me and ask me political strategy, I always tell them to call like Liz or somebody else. I'm not a political strategist. But if you look back into 2016, you say, well, Donald Trump came down that escalator and he started saying the things that Americans needed to hear. They were frustrated. They were fed up. America wasn't being put first, and he was saying the things Americans wanted to hear, and that carried down ballot here in the state of Connecticut. And to your point, we went even in the Senate that year for the 17 and 18 legislative cycles, and the House, I think they were within six or something like that, very, very close. And they got great work done, bipartisan budgets, great work done. But what happened next was Donald Trump continued into some rhetoric and he definitely has character issues. I there's no doubt about that. And I know people criticize me when I say that, but listen, I was raised a gentleman. I'm a gentleman. I demonstrate being a gentleman to my sons, the young men that I coach and mentor. And Donald Trump does and says things a lot different than I would do them. I make no bones about that. And you can criticize me if you want to. But the bottom line is, and I think this was Ben's point, he fostered a better America than what we've had in the last 4 years, in spite of that, right, on the policy issue. So I think what you're seeing this election cycle is you're seeing people say, you know, yeah, I don't like the guy. Yeah, he's a jerk. But you know what? He's doing the things that I want my country to do. So we'll see how that carries down ballot this election cycle, because I think that the frustrations that had mounted for generations coming into 2016 have remounted over the last 4 years in the electorate. I think people are frustrated with these things. I think people are frustrated that we can't get federal aid to our countrymen down in North Carolina who are suffering right now because we've put it all into illegal migrants coming over the border. I think people are frustrated with the fact that eggs are $4 or $5 a gallon. I think people are frustrated with the fact that they're paying massive amount of money so some legislators can, you know, be in good shape with the illegal conservation voters, you know, for a climate change you know that's not going to move. I think people are frustrated with all those things. And in fact, the League of Conservation Voters is actually paying ads to go onto social media right now, encouraging people to call Ned Lamont to ask him to sign onto a power purchase agreement with wind. You know, the Democrats criticized the power purchase agreement with nuclear at 4.9 cents a kilowatt hour. The wind one's going to be north of 10. You think your public benefit section is up now? CTLCV gets, you know, gets their way, and Ned Lamont signs a deal with wind for a PPA north of 10 cents. Your electric bill, this is not an exaggeration, and I don't want you to exaggerate. Mm-hmm. Your electric bill will match your mortgage, if not more.
Yep, triple. It'll triple.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I get it.
The short-sightedness for immediate political and power gain has taken over the long term, long view of what's best as we go down, as we move forward, not only in this state, in this country, and in this world. And that is the immediate concern of the Democratic Party, is maintaining their power and control over the population, as opposed to understanding it's the population that maintains and should have control over them.
Ben Proto is on the line. Greg Howard's kind enough to stick around. He's in the studio with us. Let me grab one quick call, and then I got to ask you guys both the question, then we're going to run out of time. David, you're up in New London. Good morning. You got to go quick, though.
Good morning, sir. I just wanted to call you. I'll be brief. My name is David. I'm from Colombia. I'm a lawyer, and I had to flee my country because of socialism and communism. I had to flee my country because they took away our liberties, our freedom of speech, and I had to flee my country, and I came here to the United States of America, to the greatest country ever.
God bless you.
I just want to thank you guys, to the Republican Party, to Donald Trump, and to you, because you're doing an amazing job. The Republicans and Donald Trump need to win these elections, because there is no other place to flee. It doesn't get any better than the United States of America. I apologize for my broken English, but I just want
to... No, don't apologize for that, David.
Don't ever apologize.
Don't apologize for that.
Thank you, guys. I just want you to know, guys, that what the Republican Party stands and what Donald Trump stands, that's the truth, I'm telling you. I'm a lawyer. I've been all over the world. I've been studying all kind of ideologies and legislation. You have to elect Republican ideas. You have to elect conservatives. You have to elect Donald Trump. It doesn't get any better than this. The guy is correct. I'm an illegal immigrant myself, and there is an actual invasion. You guys have to stop this. We don't have any other place to flee. So thank you, guys. God bless you all. And please keep United States being the greatest country ever.
Wow.
Boy.
Thank you, David.
So right there.
I think he embodies exactly what America is about.
Bingo. I was just going to say that.
What he just talked about embodies it, in that, you know, we have always been and always will be considered a country of immigrants.
I'll say this very quickly.
Legally, who have come here properly, who contribute like David does, and I'm sure his family does, and they, more than anyone else, do not like the fact that we've opened our borders and allowed people to come here illegally to break our laws. When they have done it properly, they have followed our rules, they have followed our laws, and are now fully contributing to our Connecticut society and our American society, and that's what we're talking about. And I'm just going to correct David on one thing. They're not Republican values. They're American values. That's what we need to get back to, American values. And unfortunately, the Democrats have lost sight of that. The Republican Party never has.
Ronald Reagan told a story about two Cuban immigrants that were talking to one another and talking to an American, and they had fled Castro. This was back in the 60s and 70s. And the American that was standing talking to him says, "Boy, we don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban responded and said, "How lucky you are. I had a place to flee to." And Reagan said in that sentence, he told the whole story, that this is the last stronghold on earth where people can come and be hard and work hard. And like David did. And David, if you're still listening, never apologize for your broken English. I mean, you embody everything that is great in America. You know, you came here and your English is perfectly fine. We understand you without any issues at all. And, you know, that's exactly what America embodies. Hard work pays benefits. But if Hartford continues to go the way that it is, hard work cannot pay benefits because they're taking it. The people in the wagon are going to outnumber the people pulling it. The wagon's going to stop.
All right, let me jump in real quick. Great call, by the way, David. One of the great calls we've had in 20 years of radio. I appreciate you being out there listening. You are truly an American, and thank you for calling in. I want to ask you both, just gut reaction right away. I was fooling around with this all weekend long, and to me it comes down to one thing. So I'll ask Greg first, then you, Ben, just right up the top. Don't necessarily think about it too much. Just give me an answer. Who wins Nevada?
Trump.
Ben?
I think Trump close.
All right. Arizona?
I think, Trump definitely close. Trump.
But
Trump.
We lose the Senate race, I think.
Wisconsin?
That's tough.
Give me one.
That's a tough one. That's a jump ball.
Harris, yeah.
All right, Harris. What do you got, Ben? Harris?
I think it's a jump ball. Right. I think it will depend, quite frankly, might even depend on the weather that day.
All right, Michigan.
I think Trump wins that again. He won that in 2016.
I think Trump wins close.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where I disagree with both of you. All right, give me North Carolina.
Well, the Trump, I mean, Harris is doing nothing. They're getting no help down there.
Ben?
Harris is working hard down there by herself. I think Greg's right. Look, I can't remember the last time I voted for a Democrat for president, although Mark Robinson, I think, is hurting Trump in North Carolina.
See, I think, okay. I'm going to be the tiebreaker there because I think she's going to win North Carolina. Give me Georgia.
Dude, you're giving me all the tough states.
All right.
I think Harris wins Georgia. Trump's made too much noise down there.
Ben?
Jump ball, I think. Right. I think the fact that he's reconciled with Kemp is helping him down there because Kemp is tremendously well-liked. I think Kemp could be a difference maker for him.
I'll be the tiebreaker. I'm going to say it goes Georgia, goes to Harris. That leaves it just what I've been saying from the beginning, what a lot of people have been saying. It all comes down to Pennsylvania. Hold on. So what do you think? Pennsylvania.
Definitely Trump in Pennsylvania. I think
Trump in Pennsylvania. I think Western Pennsylvania overrides Eastern Pennsylvania. And
if that's the case, if what you guys just said and what we just played out is the case, then Trump will win 270 to 268.
I'm going to say this to you. And there's something that you have to consider this. I think that J.D. Vance has been the best thing to happen in Trump campaign forever. He's given people what they want. The issues with polish, with poise, with being a gentleman, with a great story, I think J.D. Vance is really, really helping Donald Trump's chances,
Ben,
in my opinion.
I think his debate moved it just enough to help him in a couple of places. And I think as a result, we may have 53 Republican senators.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, I got to run. We're running out of time. That was a great half hour. I appreciate it, both of you guys.
Thanks, Ben.
See you guys.
From the Bruce DeLon Buick GMC Studios, WJJF, Montauk, Ledyard, Mystic, Norwich, 94.9 News Now.
A year after the Hamas terror attack, war.